Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Let's go Celtics. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. Odyssey Station.
This hour of the Brian Barrett Show is brought to you by Shaw's. Shaw's, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Network.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
But the Swiss roll I eat, and I might be a weirdo here, I don't just like bite it and eat it. I chew off like a rabbit all the little chocolate outer coating, and then I unroll the cake with the, and then I eat it like it's a flat like a flatbread. I'm a little weird like that, I'll admit that. I also lick potato chips. Do you lick potato chips?
All right, I guess it's time for a commercial break.
Whoa. No, try it next time. You have to lick Pringles. Salt and vinegar, sour cream and onion. A good chip needs to be licked.
That is the voice of Andy Hart. He joins us now. Andy, have you had any chips today?
I have not, but I stand by my take that a good, well-seasoned chip deserves to be licked.
So I don't. So you just lick it. Like, do you do this in front of other people or just your family?
Yes. No, I do it. I mean, if like it's a gathering or whatever. No, if there's a good, well-seasoned chip. It's not every chip. It's chip. You know when you get a chip and you see there's a lot of sour cream and onion on it, or you can tell there's a lot of flavor to it.
Those are the ones you go after.
Yes, and I'm telling you, it's so good. And then you eat the chip.
All right. It's a weird.
You
take.
Can. You of all people. Cannot give me issues about my eating habits.
That's true.
Okay. And
I'm
also,
not here to judge. I'm here for content, Andy. I thought that was funny. That's why we played it. I'm here for content.
Yeah. And you're here to take shots at Andy. I heard the, you know, I was on the line and I heard the final minutes of you and Fitzy. I expect that from Fitzy. He's my usual odd couple partner, but et tu, Brian Barret, et tu. Taking shots at me.
Well, I kind of had Fitzy wobbling. Fitzy was a little upset with me because I told him that you were the most positive person on the Six Rings and Things podcast. Shine was the least positive, of course, and he was in between. He's very upset about that.
Yeah, he gets wishy-washy. He tries to be the character that is Superfan Fitzy, but this has been a tough stretch the last year plus and this offseason and the uncertain future of a team whose offensive staff consists of a failed head coach who was a special team expert and a failed head coach who's a defensive expert. But, you know, that's a different topic for a different day. It's all C's all the time, right?
Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, we ready?
Yeah, I mean, we can mix.
Can the C's win 2 out of 3 against the great Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors?
617-779-7937. Do you believe in that? So I still believe they can, Andy. Like, it's so difficult to get a grasp on this team, isn't it? It's like,
yes.
For a great team, I can never remember. And, like, you can't do the equivalent of the Patriots because, of course, you have to win all your playoff games. You could do it with the Red Sox or you could do it with the Bruins because they play in series. But I can't remember a team with a championship run, which the Celtics are on right now. They're 2 wins away, of course. I don't know if you knew this. 2 wins away from winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy. I can't remember a team that's had so many bad losses throughout that run. Like, it's one thing to just get beat, but the way that the Celtics sort of have all these losses, it continues to happen in the same way. It's turnovers and it's issues with the rebounding, and it was both in the last game. But, like, you go back to the Milwaukee Game 5. They missed 12 total shots in the fourth quarter. They got 7 of their offensive rebounds, right? The Bucks did, including, remember, the Portis free throw rebound.
Yep.
And then you look through all these games, it's the same characteristics, right? It's all these turnovers. I just cannot remember having so many bad losses for a championship team. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, the turnovers are infuriating, including to Ime Udoka, who continues to stress them, and they continue to come, and they continue to come at times from his best player, Jason Tatum. But for me, it's just so maddeningly infuriating that they're so inconsistent. And I blame that on Tatum and to some degree my guy Jaylen Brown. I mean, if there's sort of a microscopic view of the Boston Celtics and their inconsistency, I think it's Jaylen Brown. There are times where Jaylen Brown looks like by far the best player on the court, the best athlete on the court,
yep,
the most dynamic scorer. And then there are times it's like, huh, what, this guy start playing basketball yesterday? He's not familiar with the bouncing ability of the – like, and I think that's a little bit of a look into these Celtics. It's like when they're rolling, it's oh so good. And then when it starts to snowball for the bad, it's oh so bad. And I think – I said this yesterday with Fitzy. You know, all those numbers during the regular season about, yeah, but close late games, that's an issue. And we saw even the whole Heat series. It's like win a blowout, lose a blowout, win a blowout, lose a blowout. So they can't stem the tide when it starts to go the wrong way. And I think a lot of that's on Tatum. That was my rant for yesterday. But a lot of it is Jaylen Brown, the inconsistencies. And then Marcus Smart filling the void when he feels like the top two dogs are not getting the job done. And it's like, oh, it's Marcus time. I got to do more. I'm the alpha. I got to do more. And that generally sends it in even more of a bad direction.
Well, yeah, and to your point about that, so clutch games this season – with the games within 5 points with 5 minutes less, they were 13-22. That's a .377 winning percentage, which ranked 29th in the NBA. Now, they're actually 7-5 in clutch games in the postseason, but they have a negative point differential. So they haven't been much better. And the other night, that was a clutch game. And in clutch time, they were 0-6 with 0 points. They literally
started shooting bombs. That's the biggest issue for me is they were down. I want to say they were down 3 sort of when I noticed it. And it was like 25-foot. They're in 28-foot, 28, yeah, like if you go back at the play-by-play. And it was just, it's like, no, you're in this game. Play basketball. Be you. Be a good offensive team. And they just grip it and rip it. They were like me lining up to drive. And you know what happens on the golf course when I grip it and rip it? I find a new ball because that ball is lost. And that's how that was. It was lost. They played lost basketball at the end of that game.
Yeah, I suck at golf. I don't have the patience for that sport, but I can imagine what it's like for you out there. So I did want to mention this, though, because you said that thing about Jaylen. And I feel like outside of game two, Jaylen has been really good in this series. Now, game
the MVP?
Two,
did you ask him? Was that you asking the question if he felt like he's the MVP?
I mean, what an ass clown question.
The now, guy, I want to be careful because I'm not sure who asked it. I'm not overly familiar with the Celtics beat. And in the finals, you obviously get a much larger cast of media characters. I couldn't tell if that was maybe somebody from even a non-English-speaking network or outlet covering a game, not usually in sports. But you're right, it was a bet.
I love how Jaylen answered it. Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question.
Next!
They just tied up the series 2-2, and the guy on the other side went for 43.
Are you the MVP?
Are you the?
No, yeah, I think it's actually Steph Curry right now.
I'd say it's number 30 on the other team. But so they threw him a knuckleball in that game 2 where they put Draymond on him. It kind of threw him off, but then he figured it out in game 3. And he was absolutely electric for a good portion of this game 4 the other night. And I do feel like, Andy, there is obviously Tatum has been the better player throughout the regular season and for the majority of the postseason. And I would even contend that Tatum's job is harder than Jaylen is because of the fact that he's got to, whatever basketball cliche you want to use, lead the dance, run the show. He's got to organize the whole offense, right? He's basically, at this point, he's playing default point guard. He's handling the ball way more than Marcus Smart is. He's having to make all the reads and all the decisions. So, yes, Jaylen's job is easier. But I would say that I can't remember a stretch in the series where I felt like, okay, Tatum's completely taking over when Jaylen's done it on multiple occasions. So that brings me back to looking forward in terms of getting ready for a game 5. I would try to run more things for Jaylen Brown. I would try to get Jaylen Brown involved as much as I possibly can because the other part of the whole calculus with this, Andy, is he's never going to have the best wing defender on him. Wiggins is covering Tatum, right? So even if it's Draymond, Jaylen figured out how to go at Draymond. Now, I will say this. Klay Thompson did a very good job on Jaylen in the fourth quarter, and he had not done a good job on him for the majority of the series. That's why Steve Kerr came off that matchup, and he went back to Draymond on him, but Klay held up in the fourth quarter. But I feel like they have got to make more of an effort. They do in the first quarter, where Jaylen Brown has been a great first quarter scorer all season long. He was 10th in the NBA in terms of the average. I feel like they got to go to Jaylen more because This is a more of a Jaylen series to dominate than it is a Tatum series to dominate, just based on matchups. And I truly believe that this Warriors team that is not very athletic, they don't have a guy that can stay in front of Jaylen.
At this point, so we had Nick Fryer, BEI.com, has covered the Celtics for a long time on Fitzy and Hart yesterday. And he kept alluding to the health of Jason Tatum. That maybe, I don't know if you want to call it an excuse, that he wouldn't be surprised if we find out that maybe there's more to this shoulder issue after the season. And I don't know what you blame Jason Tatum's inability. He has not played well. There has not been a game of late where you've said, that's Tatum. That's all NBA. This is why the Celtics are here in large part. And I agree with you that I think more needs to go through Jaylen Brown. The one thing I disagree with is that he has the easier job on a I agree with your idea. Physically, it may be the easier job. But mentally, I think he has struggled with this idea. When is it his time? When is it his team? You know what I mean? Like,
it's a good point.
There were some images the other night late in the game where he's on the wing. Tatum's got the ball, you know, at the top of the key. And it's like he's like an outsider looking in on Tatum's team at that point in the game, because the game's on the line. It's Tatum time. We're going to shoot all these things. Marcus, whatever. So I almost wonder if Tatum is not healthy and if this shooting, like, he started hot the other night and then again faded. It was like 4 of his last 17, I think, after the hot start. If he is incapable of being a consistent shooter, if that is just a reality of whatever this shoulder issue is, that at least once a game he goes to the hoop, he gets hit, he's under the stanchion and he's like flexing, he's feeling it, he's grimacing. If he can't shoot, then I 100% agree with you. It's more Jaylen Brown. He's your better offensive option, and make it clear to him. Try not to make it clear to the Warriors, because as you said, you want the matchups, but make it clear to him. This is your game. This is your night. He's out here as like a decoy, Jason Tatum. This is JB time. And I think that's their best option to win this series.
Yeah, and look, I know people are going to hate this comparison because of the guy I'm going to use, but it almost feels like to me, when the Cavaliers won that championship over the Golden State Warriors back in 2016, it was like, Kyrie, when you get the ball, just go and score.
Right.
Just don't worry about getting anybody else involved. Just go score, because the Warriors do not have a guy that can defend you. Just go score. And I kind of feel like that same sort of mentality, not to say I want him to be Kyrie long term, but that sort of mentality has to be on Jaylen. And that's partly on Ime Udoka, that's on Tatum, that's on the rest of the guys there, to say, Jaylen, anytime you have the ball, you have a mismatch, right?
Right.
Every single time you have a mismatch, nobody on the Golden State Warriors can cover you. We need you to go off. And that's what I think the mentality should be going into this game five. And the other thing I'll say as it pertains to just both those guys, well, I'll say a lot of other things because we still got 2 more hours. But the other thing I just wanted to mention, I just said it again, but I just wanted to, well, I did it again.
You, boy, do you have verbal crutches.
Yes.
You know what? It's not your fault. All you guys that work alone tend to.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we all do.
Yep.
We
have to. Goes with the job. No question.
Bielitsa, okay? Whenever that guy is on you, this is what aggravates me about Tatum and Brown. When they get that switch and it's Bielitsa, he's 6'9", Andy, okay? He's not fast. We all know that. He does not move particularly well. So they both let that guy off the hook when they don't try to go by him. When they just go at him and they take that pull-up jump shot. Now, they're both capable of hitting that. We all know that.
Yep.
But he can actually contest that because he's 6'9". He's taller than Jaylen. Tatum's slightly taller than him. But you get my point. It's like you're making life easier for the guy that cannot stay with you if you just try to attack him and get downhill. So I don't know why. Like, they shouldn't be able to survive with Bielitsa on the floor, and Tatum and Brown are like content trying to take pull-up jump shots over the guy when they can just go by him. At one point, Jaylen dribbled off his leg when that guy was covering him. Just go by that guy. I don't get it. Tatum was 0-for-3 with 3 turnovers, and that guy was covering him the other night. That crap cannot happen.
Well,
I don't know, maybe it's just a Bielitsa thing, but jeez.
With Tatum, I don't know if there's any hesitancy, if he can't finish the way he wants to, going to the basket, again, because of the shoulder. With JB, I'm always for him being the ignition, going towards the basket, being the electric athlete that he can be, because I think more often than not, good things happen. Yes, may there be a highlight reel, low light reel play in there somewhere, sure, but he's capable of taking over a game for a stretch when he's aggressive and taking it to the rim.
Yeah, he overwhelmed them in game one with his athleticism.
Yep.
He overwhelmed them in game three with his athleticism. And in the first quarter of game four, he overwhelmed them. Keep going with that. Keep, to use the cliche, keep spamming that, man. Spam that over and over again. Just give it to Jaylen and get the hell out of the way.
Ass.
Yeah, by the way, Andy, on the text line, try the Is it Utz or UTZ, sour cream and onion? More powder Utz than you know what to do with, they say.
Oh, yeah, I like those. Them, Michael's, Pringles, Utz, those are the ones that really need to be licked. A good chip needs to be licked. Hey, somebody prove me wrong.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Andy Hart with you up until 3 o'clock. All right, so how are you feeling about Game 5? What's your biggest concern with this team going forward? And I do want to get to the one other non-Tatum, Jaylen Brown slash Marcus Smart issue that I have going forward. We'll do that next here in EA.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Sox lost to the Mariners 7-6 last night. Bobby Dalbec, in his return to Seattle, gave the Sox a 6-5 lead in the ninth inning. He had homered the night before, too, but another blown save for Hansel Robles, his fourth of the season. Dylan Moore, the walk-off single for Seattle. The Sox and the Mariners play the last of their three-game set this afternoon in Seattle. It's a 4-10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 3:10. It's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Robbie Ray goes for Seattle, and it is now official. Cutter Crawford is going to get the start for the Sox in this one. Cutter Crawford, of course, was sent back down to AAA, so he's going to be like an opener in this game. Yeah, the numbers aren't good on Crawford. When he was actually with the Red Sox, out of 219 relievers, he had a 54.5% hard hit rate. That was 210th. He was barreled up 7 times, tied for the most. 216 whip. You know, whip over 2. That was 217. So
should be early action.
Yeah. That's the
right?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, if you're a gambling man, I'd put money on the over in the first inning for sure. Anyway, I did tell you what time the pitch was at. The NBA Finals now tied 2-2. Game 5 Monday night in San Francisco. The C's coming off that loss in Game 4. The Lightning clinched a spot in the Stanley Cup Final for the third straight year after a 2-1 win over the Rangers Saturday night. They wrapped that up in 6 games. The Stanley Cup Final will get underway on Wednesday night. Lightning and Avalanche. I feel like I'm a kid watching the Avs. Remember that Patrick Waugh team, Sakic?
Yep.
I, those guys were nasty.
So
the Avs are back, man.
That's good for hockey, right?
Yeah, and I think there's actually, I'm interested in this, I believe there's a 30-for-30 Red Wings Avalanche coming
awesome.
Up.
When they used to drop the gloves on the drop of the puck? Oh
yeah.
So good.
Those
so
teams
good.
Hated each other. And those Red so Wings jerseys, the all red, nasty.
Yep.
That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, Andy Hart with us as well. We're taking you up until 3 o'clock. Then Red Sox pregame comes your way as they look to survive and clinch this series win over the Mariners after Hansel Robles decided to suck last night, give up a bunch of rockets, walk a guy. The Red Sox should have won the game. They lost, so we'll see if they can pick up this win today with Cutter Crawford on the mound. So as it pertains to the Celtics, have you lost faith in this team? 617-779-7937. So one of the things just piggybacking off that Jaylen Tatum conversation, Andy. So, look, I get it, it's 4 games, but this does tell you something in terms of the impact that Jaylen has had compared to Tatum in the series. So Jaylen on the floor, the Celtics have outscored the Warriors by 26 points. Jaylen off the floor, the Celtics have been outscored by 22 points. So if you look at that on-off differential, if you will, it's plus 48, okay? So they're 48 points better when Jaylen is on the court compared to off the court pretty much, right? So Tatum in this series, with Tatum on the court, the Celtics have outscored the Warriors by 2 points. When he's off the court, the Celtics have outscored the Warriors by 2 points. So his differential is zero. Jaylen's is 48, and it's been the opposite throughout the season, right? Tatum led the whole NBA in total on-off differential at 732, plus 732. And then you look at the postseason, he's led the entire postseason at plus 157. And now it's Jaylen that's having the impact, which this isn't a concern for me about Jaylen. Like we were just saying earlier, they need to involve Jaylen as much as they possibly can because the Warriors do not have an answer for Jaylen when he's getting downhill, when he's decisive, when he's not dribbling too much, and he's just getting to his spots. They have no answer for the guy whatsoever. But it is concerning to me in this sense, Andy, when you look at Tatum's numbers, the fact that all season long, even when maybe in a certain game his box score numbers have not been good, he's always shown up in the impact metrics, right? He's always had an impact on the game. And so far in this series, he hasn't had that type of impact that we've known throughout the regular season and into the postseason.
And I think that's some of the circumstantial evidence towards maybe there is more to his physical level right now in terms of an injury. I hate doing that. I'm a big believer if you're on the court, I need to expect you to play, to be a positive impact, whatever sport it is, that you sort of hold the person to the standard. And if you shouldn't be out there, then maybe you shouldn't be out there. But the numbers are the numbers. You don't have to sway me. You know I've been a JB guy from way back, head of the JB fan club, and all the elevation of Tatum that was premature in my opinion. But the bigger question I would have for you, so I'm a big believer that stars win in the postseason in all sports.
Yeah.
All sports. Like stars play, your big dogs are your big dogs. So do you think this next three-game stretch of this series comes down to the big dogs? Obviously, the big dog on their side is Steph Curry. He's been the best player in the series. No doubt. Not even close. And for the Celtics, that's Tatum Brown. Or I had this theory coming in that I thought throughout the playoffs, Ime Udoka had this little wheel of complimentary Celtics that he could spin every night, and it would come up on a couple guys. Big Horford night. Big Grant Williams night. Peyton Pritchard's going to chip in. We're going to get these, you know, Derek White. Big night. Rob Williams. Are those guys failing to live up to that expectation that may be unfair but had been built upon the first three plus series of this playoffs and even game one, right? The story of your win was Draymond saying, they won't keep doing that. They're not going to keep getting contributions like that. They won't keep hitting those shots. And kind of realistically, he was right. They haven't. And the Warriors have led the series since that. Is it more on the stars, Tatum and Brown, to figure it out if it's Brown time to go more Brown? Or do they need more out of those complimentary players?
I think they definitely do need more out of the complimentary guys. You bring up a good point, too. Like, I would say out of those role players, Robert Williams was outstanding in Game 3 and for about a half of Game 4. And I mentioned this with Fitzy. It concerns me that he looked banged up again.
Yep.
So I felt like finally, especially like my whole thing was, okay, after Game 3, I don't want to get too excited. He was unbelievable. And he looked like the guy that was giving you that same impact from the regular season, Andy. But my concern was, okay, can he do it on Friday? And then he came out of the gates and he did it again. And I'm like, okay, here we go. The Celtics are going to win the series. And then it seemed like he was banged up again. So that's the one guy from a role player perspective, to me, that has a massive impact on the series one way or the other if he's ready to go. Now, I feel like even though Derek White hasn't been as great offensively the past two games, his defense, even though Curry's numbers are great, have been good. Like, there's not much more Derek White can do in terms of when he's guarding Steph Curry. Like, he's been pretty good when it comes to that. Grant Williams has been a no-show. Horford has had one good game. And Pritchard, they need to have more of Pritchard. If he's going to play, he needs to provide them offense because obviously he doesn't provide them much on the defensive end. So you're right on that. But the other thing I would just say is this in terms of Tatum is you look at recent teams that have won NBA titles. Like, Tatum's not on the level of those stars yet, right? He's not on the Giannis level. He's not on the Kawhi Leonard level. He's not on the Durant level. He's not on the Curry LeBron level. We can agree on that, right? He's only 24. He's not at that the peak of his powers like those guys are. But the one thing I'll say is you go through the postseason, he outplayed Durant, right? I mean, that's unequivocally the case. He was great on him on defense, too. Giannis outplayed him, even though Tatum was good in that series, right? He averaged 27-6-5, Giannis 34-14-7. But the thing is that Tatum was at least close to Giannis, 85-90% of the production Giannis was giving you, right? And Butler, I would make the argument that Butler outplayed him, even though Butler had a couple of stinkers, but Butler had two 40-point games. But the point being is you could make the case that Tatum was better. He won the MVP of the series, right? But in this series, it's not close. Steph Curry's averaging 34 points a game on 50% shooting, and Tatum's averaging 22 on 34% shooting, and he's shooting 27% on twos. So as I get back and circle back to your star question, sorry to be so long-winded here, is Tatum has got to at least come close to matching Curry in terms of being 85% of Curry, being 80% of Curry. In this case, Curry, he's been like, what, 55% of Curry compared to these other series where he's been close, at least close to the other superstar?
Yeah, he has not measured up. And some of that, I have this theory they need to be more physical with Steph Curry. You know, I thought they were physical with Kevin Durant in the first series, and I thought it was part of the story of that series, and the way they played him was the part of the way they played and won the series. I think you need to be more. Steph Curry he's gotten everything he's wanted in every game in this series, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't know. I was trying to figure out whether, because the Celtics are a good defensive team. They have good individual defenders. He's a great player. But over the course of this postseason, after the first series, it was Giannis getting his, it was Jimmy Butler getting his, and now it's Steph Curry getting his. Is this by design, or are they helpless to do anything about it, that the opposing team's best player has been arguably the best player on the floor? Even better, as you said, maybe than Tatum, even though Tatum's team kept advancing past Giannis and Jimmy Butler. Is this by design? Is it like he's going to get his 35-40, whether his name is Butler, Giannis, or Curry? We just need to make sure that the rest of them don't beat us. Or are they incapable of dealing with these truly elite players that they're going against in the postseason? So I think there's a question there, but I think they need to be more physical than Curry, because I think if they keep playing the way they're playing and Curry keeps playing the way he's playing, you're going to watch another team win the NBA title. And that's just the reality of the way this series is going. I think they need to bang the hell out of him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, kind of have the Seahawks mentality. Like, hey, they can't call everything off the ball.
Exactly.
So, yeah, whatever he gets off the ball, just kind of rough that guy up. I'm with you when it comes to that. The other thing I'll say is it does feel like that has been the calculus throughout the postseason, right? Like, they don't want to completely change the way they play defense. Now, they have a bit in the series with Al. They don't want to switch Al onto Curry and all that. But, like, these other guys have had dominating performances against the Celtics, Giannis and Jimmy Butler. But nobody's really bent the Celtics' defense the way Curry has, right? Like, even when Giannis and Butler were going off against the Celtics, those teams, the Celtics had the best defensive rating, as we all know, during the regular season, 106.2. During the series against the Bucks, they were under 100, their offensive rating. And the Heat were under 106.2. So they still held them to, like, the worst offense in the NBA in the series, even though those guys were going off. With Curry, he's actually having that impact where the offense has been successful against the Celtics, which we haven't seen. That's the different thing about the way that Curry's been dominating these guys compared to the other teams. The one other thing is just, if you look at it, Curry ran more pick and rolls in the last game, the most he's run since 2017. So it does feel like the calculus from Ime Udoka's perspective is, hey, eventually he's going to wear down. And going into Friday night, after game three in the postseason so far this year, Curry was shooting 40%, 34% from three, and 24.7 points per game. Games one through three, 48.9%, 43.4%, and 28 points per game. So I have to imagine they believe, hey, he's not going to hold up. Even Giannis, like the biggest freak in the league, wore down. Jimmy Butler, even though Jimmy Butler was great in that game seven, maybe if he's a little bit fresher, he goes to the basket. I still believe that was a fine shot. Jimmy Butler, I don't mind him taking a shot. So, but my point being is those guys were tired. Giannis, what was the quote from Giannis? He was like, I was mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, like all this.
Yep.
And I guess what they're trying to say here is, or what their idea is, eventually that same scenario is going to play itself out with Curry. I don't know, man. Like,
I don't feel great about
this guy. This guy is shooting 50% on pull-up threes. At some point, you may have to change your philosophy on how you're guarding the guy. But I do like the Seahawks mentality, Andy. Just bump the guy. Can we get one hard foul? Not that this is the 80s or the 90s anymore, or even the early 2000s, but just one of them. Somebody lay him out once. Come on.
Okay, I don't know if I'm calling for that. Although I don't mean hurt him.
I just mean bump him. Yeah.
When he's running by, if he bumps a little bit, he's not the biggest guy. And if you do that a few times, will there be a positive effect in the fourth quarter? Will he shoot a little bit differently? I don't know. But right now, I do know he's winning the series. He's the best player in the series, and you don't seem to have an answer for him. Now, I know he's getting, Wiggins is chipping in, he's getting some contributions elsewhere, but wear him down a little bit and see if he has to lean on those guys. And when he does lean on those guys, do they have the answers?
And you know what I hate? I can't hate him. Like, ordinarily,
I'm so with you. Oh, my God, I'm so with you. I love hating on Giannis. And I kind of
LeBron back in the day.
Yeah, oh, LeBron is easy to hate.
Lowry.
This series, I kind of like watching Steph Curry play. It's like,
I know, it's...
wow, this guy's good. Like, I feel like I'm enjoying the art instead of getting all lathered up as a fan rooting against him. Because I said this yesterday. The one thing that I think people forget or don't acknowledge enough with Steph Curry, he's penciled in or pigeonholed as this, he's just a great three-point shooter, just a great shooter. He can shoot from anywhere on the court, which he can. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But those little floaters that he takes, the little teardrops, or he finishes pretty damn well. He gets to the rim when he decides that's the way. And he's got a little Bob Cousy to him when he's dribbling around the key. Like, he is such a good all-around basketball player, and I think that sometimes just gets lost in his shooting.
And, I mean, the guy is so fit. I mean, it's remarkable. Oh, yeah. When he gives up the ball, he starts sprinting to get it back, and he's, like, yep, running around all these guys. Like, I mean, Tatum and Brown in the future could take something from him. It's really remarkable. He's basically like what Ray Allen was, except he's a way better shooter than Ray Allen, and he can handle the basketball. So he's like
much
Ray
better.
Allen on, not technically, not, I'm not saying he's actually on steroids, but Ray, yep, Allen on steroids.
And I have a lot of respect for the way he basically took on the Garden the other night. He went,
yeah,
at the crowd. He was flexing, screaming, heading toward the crowd after shots. Like, he did not wilt in that environment. And you can question maybe the way Draymond Green has handled this or other players. Steph said, what crowd? I'm the show here. I'm the best in this building. And he took it. He's got some of that showman to him. Like,
you're right. He does.
It's hard to hate him. What do you hate? Oh, because he chews on his mouthpiece. I don't even hate that. Whatever. It's his thing.
And he doesn't say anything wrong. Right? All these other guys are complaining about the crowd. He doesn't say anything.
Nope.
He just says, we expect it.
Exactly.
Like, he embraces it. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Justin in Providence. Justin says the series is over. The Celtics are done. What's up, Justin?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I still got faith. Yeah, that was a good game by the Warriors the other day, but I don't know about you guys, but I feel like every time we lose a game since the Milwaukee series, it's because we shoot ourselves in our own foot. Turnovers, stagnant offense. I don't feel like, except for that Jimmy Butler game, there's ever been a game where they really took it from us. You know, they really won. Aside from us shooting ourselves in the foot. So that's why I still got faith. For some reason, these young boys, the Celtics, love playing with their back up against the wall. That's why I think we take it Monday night. Arden, it's
all right, hey, Justin, we're losing you, man. We're losing you, but I appreciate the call. You can grab his line if you want. It's 617-779-7937. It is bizarre that they do always – it's a great quality, Andy, that they respond after losses, 7-0 plus 109 in those games. But they just cannot handle prosperity. 6-6 after wins. Or 6-7 now after the other day. So 6-7 after wins. And by the way, three of those wins came against the Nets. So really, since the Nets series, they are 3-7 after wins.
Ugh, I don't care for that. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but you're right. I didn't, you may mock this. I know I did a show with you, I want to say it was the Heat series, and we were talking about Jason Tatum's pregame attire, and I liked it.
Oh, yeah, you're into that.
Well, I didn't like the plain white shirt coming to the game the other night. He had just a plain white button down. There was no Kobe, no Jordan, no look at me, I'm ready to play, no put it on my shoulders. Like, it was a nice, loose-fitting, you know, nice day shirt. He was going clubbing, and I didn't care for it. I like when Jason Tatum shows up and says, I got Kobe on my arm, I got Michael on my chest, and I'm going to go win a ball game. Like, you're right. I there was no killer instinct in the Celtics the other night. All the killer mentality was with Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Yeah, and you just felt like the Celtics are going to win the way that game was going. And into the fourth quarter, it was,
yeah.
And look, I know the Warriors outscored the Celtics 30-24, in that third quarter, but it felt like, okay, well, you survived it, right? Because all these other quarters, they're kicking the crap out of you in the third quarter. Every other game, they've kicked the crap out of you. And finally, you kept it reasonable. And you were thinking to yourself, okay, you survived the haymaker. You're still standing after that haymaker. That's why I felt, and the Celtics have been throughout the series, the better fourth quarter team. I felt like they had finally turned the corner and they were going to win this game. And then that final 5 minutes or so, what a joke from an offensive perspective. And I mean, some of those turnovers they had late, like, what was the one where Jalen just dropped it out of bounds? What was the one where Jalen just dribbled it off his foot? I don't mean to just signal out Jalen. Those are the ones that stick out to me, though. Tatum was not good down the stretch. Smart. Nobody was good down the stretch. It was just mind-boggling to me, some of the plays that they made down the stretch of that game. For a good team, it happens all the time.
And the shot selection. Just jacking up threes. I did not care for the shot selection. It's like they were in desperation mode before they needed to be in desperation mode. It was a tight ball game. Just play basketball, and I think they would have been fine. But they kind of seemingly had a panic attack or freaked out or weren't really aware of the situation, the score, and the opportunity that they still had. And it snowballed. I'm telling you, they can't handle that tense time. That they just freak out. And if Tatum, they don't have a closer. I keep saying that too. Like, Tatum should be the closer, like a closer in baseball, no matter what. I know on the fifth day, you know, the ace is going to go out there and he just shuts down any losing streaks. They don't have that. They're searching for that late in games right now when it's close. And I don't know if he's physically not capable of being that guy right now. And as you said earlier, if he's not, then more JB.
Yeah, and I do wonder, too, if that's sort of like a trickle-down effect, right? When the team sees their best player really struggling, then guys sort of, like Marcus Smart, try to overcompensate.
Fills the void, 100%. Yeah. He's like, I got to do it now. And JB's like, well, should I do it? He's still, you know, JT's still on the court. Is he going to shoot? Is it his time, or should I step up? When they are at their best, their roles may not be necessarily, quote-unquote, well-defined, but I feel like they know them. Like, Marcus Smart knows what he's doing. Tatum knows who he is. JB falls in and knows he's going to get his 24 to 28 in a way that fits within the confines of it's a Jason Tatum-led team. When those aren't working, when it's not playing out as they kind of script it or as it should be, as they developed over this year, then it feels like they go back to bad basketball, bad shots. Oh, it's my time. Is it me time? Like, they revert to the muscle memory of their losing ways from pre-January 1st.
All right, Andy, by the way, somebody agrees with roughing up Curry from the 413.
Hit him.
Roughing him up is the key, like you said.
Hit him.
You have to be subtle about it, though. His powers come from his core and his arm strength flexibility. We're getting in detailed here.
It's deep.
Little things like poking him in the stomach or his side before a shot will mess with his rhythm.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah. Have to give him other little annoying things to think about.
Yeah. Why not? Are you trying to win a title or not? You're the Boston Celtics. You're a scrappy, defense-led team. Do what you need to do to the best player on the other team. Don't be dirty. Just make him know you're there. I had an old assistant lacrosse coach that used to say, they may beat us, but they're going to feel us. Feel us.
Oh, I like that, Andy. All right. I like that. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Andy Hart with you up until 3 o'clock. Then Red Sox pregame from 3 to 4 as the Sox and the Mariners go at it. So have you lost faith in the Celtics? Can they win 2 out of 3 against the Warriors? And they will have to win a game on the road, although they've been really good on the road. Can they take 2 of 3 from the Warriors? And I do want to get to, is there any blame to put on Ime Udoka right now? We'll address it next here on EEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, more of the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, Andy Hart is with us as well. Thanks to Andy for hanging out. Filling in for Brad Poe. He was supposed to be in today. But Brad Poe, he thinks he's like a celebrity now, Andy. You know what I mean? The guy's all over the place. He's touring the country.
Big time, you right?
Yeah, he's touring the country. I have no idea where the guy is. He's always all over the place right now. But good for Brad Poe. Getting the baseball isn't boring brand out there. So good for Brad Poe. But we do appreciate you hanging out, Andy. Are you still going to have time to go on your boat or something after this or what?
I don't know if the weather's going to be good enough. I might actually go take in a local high school playoff game. This morning I went to a girl. You know I'm a big proponent, advocate of youth sports, high school sports. I went to tremendous girls lacrosse playoff game, round of 16. Dartmouth Indians with a sudden death overtime win to advance to the next round.
Well, nice. Congratulations to them, Dartmouth. Let's go.
It was awesome. No, it was the environment was great, big crowd, and they went to overtime and won the draw and came down, ran a nice play, and girl wide open in front of the net for the game-winning goal. Poor, I felt so bad for the goalie crying, and
he
played really well the whole game, and it just ends like that. It's tough.
Tough. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Have you lost faith in the Celtics? Let's get to, oh, Allison in Cambridge, who, Andy, if you don't know, Allison did a rant about paying Xander Bogaerts, and then Rob played it for Bogaerts, and Bogaerts was incredibly emotional. He was taken back by it. How are you, Allison?
Good. That was just amazing. I just couldn't believe Rob did that, and I was amazed. It was amazing. Hey, guys, this is just a great show. I just have one thing, which is that if Jason Tatum was really hurt, then would Marcus Smart have said what he said? Because I can't imagine a scenario where Jason Tatum is really hurt. I mean, he has a serious injury on his shoulder or something, and that Marcus Smart wouldn't know. Because there's no way if he was really hurt that Marcus Smart would have said what he said after the game, right?
You're probably right. The only thing I wonder is, you know, is it a pain tolerance issue? And one of those things where, like,
but
I'm not saying...
But Nick Fryer, I guess it was, who was talking about maybe whoever brought up rotator cuff, or maybe that was a caller, I don't know.
I think
something
yeah.
serious like that, that's not just pain, that's a serious thing that... And maybe he's not going to get worse by having him play, but still, that's a real injury. I can't imagine that Marcus Smart would say what he said if it's something like that, right? I mean,
that's a logical argument.
From a teammate? I mean,
well, then Tatum sucks and he needs to be better.
All I know is I've never seen anything like this, because when they're doing well, you feel like they're unstoppable.
Yep.
And I feel like Jaylen Brown has been amazing at so many points, in this series. I just feel like when they're doing well, it's amazing. But when the other team is doing well, they are. And so it's weird. It's just this very strange thing. I mean, I just feel like it can go either way. I definitely feel they can still do it. And they do like, I mean, there is the Derek White is my guy, I just want to say. I love that kid. I just absolutely love him. And him saying about you know if we didn't make it easy, it wouldn't be us. So maybe they are going to have to win game 6 and 7. I mean, it's possible with this team. Yeah. I mean, remember, like that's such a thing for the Red Sox. I mean, it started with the 67 team and obviously in 04. Yep. I mean, that it is a part of the thing in this area of just like we're not totally dominating, just that we have this spirit and we're heart attack hits. And so maybe it's going to be like that.
Yeah,
could be. I mean, they do have a feel of a little bit like me with a paper due, a college paper due. Like, why would I start a week early when I can do it all the night before? It's like, why would I go up 3-1?
Oh, you did that, Andy? Oh, my God. I could never live with myself like that, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I could never do that.
Yeah. No, that's the
way I can't do that, man.
Yeah,
I got OCD. I cannot do that.
So you're not okay with the Celtics? You're
no, I hate this,
urgency.
Man. I don't understand why they cannot handle prosperity. And the problem is I feel like I'm watching the same bad movie again. I don't want to watch that same movie over and over again. And it's like very clear, Andy. I suggest that like Mike Breen and Van Gundy and Mark Jackson to a lesser extent. I mean, I don't have use for that guy on the broadcast. I think he sucks. But anyway, my overwhelming point is they should be pointing out how many turnovers the Celtics have like every time. Because when they get to 16... When they get to 16 turnovers, they're 0-6 in the postseason.
Right.
When they have less than 16, they're 13-2. So this should be, like, it's science. It's proven. When they turn it over 16 times, they lose games. Think about this. So in the two wins for the Warriors, they have 52 points off the Celtics' turnovers. That's 24.3% of their points in those two games. So you're talking about almost a quarter of the Warriors' points are coming off your own turnovers. And the problem is this, Andy. It affects you in multiple different dimensions. So first of all, obviously you're coughing it up on one offensive possession. They're scoring on the other end. And then we all know the Celtics have issues as it pertains to half-court offense. And the Warriors get to set up, which was the second-best defense in the league. So you're going up against a better defense when you do that. It's just so damn irritating.
It is. And was that game 2? I really liked Ime when they had 7 turnovers. He did his first quarter to second quarter interview. Then at halftime, he said, well, we've turned the ball over 4 more times since the last time I talked to you. So, you know, that's an adjustment that needs to be made. He's tuned into it. He's dialed into it. It's just, so you want a little, what do they call that? A bug, I think, on the telecast, a little bug where they'll just do a Celtics counter for turnovers. And once they reach 16, it's like, ding, 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 ding. Warriors will win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they should have like a meter. meter or something. Like, it grows or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, something where it's like, okay, it's at... And you can do it so, like, with the colors, so it's, like, in dangerous territory or something. You know, so like, green, yellow, red.
If they really want to go the difficult way, they need to win a game at some point in this series with 16 or more turnovers, too.
Yeah.
If they really want to earn the NBA title.
Heck, they almost did the other night.
Right.
They almost pulled off the miraculous.
Allison's right. Like, it feels like when the Celtics are rolling and the Celtics win, you get cocky. I was cocky Friday night at Lord Hobo. I fully admit it.
Well, I mean, you guys were hammered, too, in your defense.
Well, there was good food, there was good beer, there was good environment, there was lots of reason to be positive, but I was all in. I thought the series was over, it was just the details to be decided, and then they go out and they lose that game, and now I'm like, I kind of feel the other way. I'm like, can they really beat the Warriors 2 out of 3? Two of those games are going to be in Golden State. I've swayed way toward the negativity. I haven't checked lately. You're the numbers guy. What does 538 say? What's the percentage of chances?
They got Hillary winning. I haven't seen like what their updated one is. And it was kind of weird, Andy. You notice coming into the series where the analytical people, the people that I like, they all predicted the Celtics to win, and the gambling experts, the sharps, if you will, they were all on the Warriors. So it's kind of interesting to see that difference, if you will. But
well, I said all along that the computers and the analytics loved the Celtics before the real world got on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And sort of analysts got on the bandwagon. The computers were way ahead of the curve. Now, my trepidation there was the computers loved the Patriots in the middle of last season, too, and the computers could not have been more wrong about a team being championship caliber. So I was hesitant to jump on the computer Celtics bandwagon in basketball because I thought maybe it was the same damn dumb computers that told me the Patriots were going to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, Andy, remember it was – I remember hearing the guys on at the time, Marloni and Foray. Now, of course, Mego, great addition to that show, but it was prior to when she was on the show. Remember they had this thing where it was like – 6 of the most likely 10 Super Bowl matchups had the Patriots in them, and like 4 with the something like the Bucks Patriots are like the most realistic.
Yep. And from that point on, they never stopped the Bills. They never forced the Bills to punt. They were never close to being a championship caliber football team. The Celtics are an actual championship caliber basketball team, like the computers predicted months ago. Now they just need to finish the job, and I'm growing less confident and more dubious by the day.
All right, we got an update from Stiz. 538 says 66% C. So the duck boats, keep them cute. Keep them cute, people, okay?
Okay. Computers, they're sometimes wrong.
When? When has a computer ever been wrong besides the 2016 election?
Well, all the stupid computers I've been fighting with because my TV in my basement doesn't work, and the technician's here. He's like, I don't know. It should work. There's no reason this should work. Maybe it's a computer problem on our end.
I checked the web history on that one, okay? 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Andy Hart with you up until 3 o'clock, then Red Sox pregame from 3 to 4. So have you lost any faith in the Celtics? Oh, and I do want to get to the one issue I have with the criticism of Ime Udoka. I don't agree with it. I'll tell you why next year in EEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.